Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, the winter of our stillness. And our text is from Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 5th through the 14th verses. It's a singular story, so I'm going to read all of it. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and we have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." While this winter in Boston is not nearly as intense as last year, we have still seen a lot of snow. And when it snows, schedules have to be changed, trips rerouted, and in some situations, plans have to be halted altogether. You can't do what you thought you could do. You can't go where you want to go. You have to stay home sometimes. New England winters can be costly and even dangerous, and it's just beginning. But there is another way of looking at winter in this part of the country, and it holds some good news for people of faith. If you believe in a sovereign God, in total control of everything, then you must look at the snow and the storms as an expression of God's might and power. That does not mean we know the particulars of why God allows blizzards and hurricanes and catastrophic occurrences of nature. It means first and foremost, we should respond in reverence and worship. "Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the snow, I feel the frigid temperatures, the lakes and the rivers have turned to ice, God's power throughout the universe displayed." Some people think the weather is outside of God's control, but according to the Bible, that's not true. Psalm 148 declares, "Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds do God's bidding." When Jonah was eaten by that great fish, it was God who sent out a great wind, a mighty tempest into the sea. And when the waves were crashing against their boat and the disciples were frozen in fear, it was Jesus who calmed the sea. He said, "Peace, be still." And the disciples were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Nature belongs to God. It is a form of divine revelation. It is how we get to know God. God masters it to achieve his purposes, and whether we like it or understand it or can get around in it or not, it is still under God's control. Is there a spiritual lesson to learn from these kind of winters? Could there be a word in storm after storm after storm? I was watching CNN during one of the recent storms on the East Coast, and officials all agreed the best advice they could give was for folks simply to stay home. And even in New England, where we're used to toughing out the worst weather, the elements can be so challenging and so persistent, the inclination is if you don't have to go out, don't go out. And when you think about it, that's one of the most consistent messages we hear in seasons like this. Stay put. Don't go out. I would argue that that's one of the many lessons God teaches us in storms. Sometimes you just have to be still. It's not up to you to move. It's not up to you to work things out. It's totally up to God. You'll find a number of situations throughout the Bible when stillness is not only preferable, it's necessary. This story about Pharaoh releasing the army against the children of Israel, as soon as he releases them and they start on their journey to freedom, Pharaoh changes his mind and sends the full force of his army to stop them. Trapped against the sea with the Egyptian army sweeping in for the kill, the Israelites forget who they are. They forget God's plan that quickly. There are times when we all feel trapped. Trapped in relationships, trapped in bad finances, trapped in bad jobs, trapped by stupid choices, dangerous predicaments, trapped in life. You ever watch a squirrel dart out in front of your car to cross the street? And when it realizes you're there, it goes back and forth in a matter of seconds. It can't make up its mind. It's frenetic, moving every which way. That's how we react sometimes. When we feel trapped, our fear can result in frenzy. The Israelites were ready to panic. They were ready to go into that squirrel mode. But Moses says, wait a minute. Before you lose your minds, stand firm. Watch and see what the Lord will do. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see right now, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Be still. When you're feeling despair and discouragement, it looks like there's no way out. Be still. Before you do anything else, be still. Turn the eyes of your heart to God. What the Israelites forgot was that God put them on that journey in the first place. Their panic was their natural response to adversity. Stillness is a spiritual response. Their journey was in the will of God. And if you are in the will of God, oh my Lord, God will see you through. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is my message to my son, Nick, because Nick has been on a journey in theater for many years since he left NYU. And it's not an easy journey. Right now he's on the road with Motown, which sounds exciting, but really takes you from city to city on buses all over the country. And you're only in a city for a little while and it's rough and it's tough. And then you get back on the bus to go to another city and you have to perform. He's blessed to have the job, but sometimes he feels trapped. And I say, be still, because God put you on this journey. And God is going to carry you all the way. Stillness is not something to which we take easily as a culture. We live in a world where busyness is tantamount to productivity. If you're not moving or talking or acting in some way, you're not considered effective. According to our common sense, nothing can be accomplished if physical effort is not exerted. But in spiritual reality, come on now, in spiritual reality, that's not true. There is power in stillness, because we get confused in thinking that all the power is up to us. In fact, it is our stillness and God's power. This winter of stillness is a time for us to bask, relax, lounge in the glow of God's power. Psychiatrist and author Ed Hollowell writes, "We ignore the dangers of being too busy, to our peril. Being too busy causes stress, illness, accidents, keeps us from the things that are most important. Take some time to walk any place away from the noise of the streets. I like to go in parks in the winter, because in the winter with the snow falling on the trees and on the grass, it is so beautiful. There is power to stillness. It is so God to force us to deal with it in winter. God reminds us to be still in order to wait for God, in order to hear God, in order to know God. This is a season when we can grow in knowing God. You know, Psalm 46, be still and know. That's a wonderful command. But that psalm begins with the violence of earthquakes and mountains crumbling into the seas. But in the midst of the chaos, we are reminded there is God. His ultimate victory is certain. He will not fail to rescue those who love him. Early Christian theologian Augustine interpreted the city of God as the sphere of God's control. The city alongside a river, that's God's nourishment, resources. If you are in that city, in that sphere, in God's will, you have nothing to worry about. Kingdoms may crumble, civilization may fall apart, but God will hold. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the heavens. I will be exalted in the earth. This injunction to be still is very instructive because it's a reminder that stillness is not necessarily only the restriction of physical movement. The Hebrew root for still is rapha, which can mean to be weak, to release. It is more accurately translated as let yourself go, become weak. To what end are we to be weak? In Hebrew grammar, the emphasis of these two imperatives, be still and know, is on the second imperative. That is the rule in a number of cases. Stand and watch. Watch and pray. Be still and know. It's the watching, the praying, the knowing. The grammatical emphasis is on the second part, knowing. We let go. We allow ourselves to be weak, not for weakness' sake, but in order to know the saving power of God in our lives, in our circumstances, in the universe. That is my message today for you. Even if it's snowing outside and it seems really kind of like depressing and gray, just remember this is your time to be still and know that God is at work. God is always at work. Be blessed. Have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let